Good morning, everyone. Good to be here with you all. Pentecost, as you already may know, is the Greek word for what is translated into English as 50th day. 50th day because it's observed 50 days after the wave sheaf offering, as it's described in the book of Leviticus. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, because there is a gap of a week of weeks, 7 days times 7 days, 49 days that separate the wave sheaf offering from this day of Pentecost. In other passages, we see the day also referred to or alluded to as the day or feast of first fruits or the feast of harvest. These two terms, first fruits and harvest, are significant because of how they relate to God's plan of salvation. It was on that first day of Pentecost, after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that God poured out his Spirit on the early disciples and founding the church. This event signified the beginning of the spiritual harvest of humanity, the first fruits of which symbolize those who are called to be laborers in a greater spiritual harvest, symbolized by the fall holy days. And there you have a few of the basic facts about Pentecost, a few of the basic ones. The focus, however, of my message today, though, is to encourage certain intercessory prayers that at least involve one aspect in the day of Pentecost. And intercessory prayers, you might ask, what has that got to do with Pentecost? Be patient, I'll explain. We won't turn there, but in the second chapter of Acts, that first New Testament day of Pentecost is described as a day in which the Apostle Peter delivered a very stirring sermon to the Jews who had gathered there in Jerusalem from at least 15, maybe it was 17 different geographical regions. And they all heard his message in their own language. And his message inspired them. It cut them to the heart. People repented. They were baptized. They received God's Holy Spirit. About 3,000 individuals were added to the body of believers. 3,000 more laborers for the harvest. They were all in. It was a day of tremendous growth, both in numbers and in spiritual understanding for those who responded to Peter's message. Again, what does this have to do with intercessory prayer? Well, intercessory prayer is a prayer made on behalf of someone else. It's when we intercede to God for the benefit of others beyond ourselves. And there are many scriptural examples of God's servants making intercessory prayers, and also many exhortations for us to do so as well. I'll quickly quote Paul, for example, who writes in 1 Timothy 2:1, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." James speaks of intercessory prayers for healing. And I'll quickly quote from James 5:16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And we've heard that frequently. We are to make intercessory prayers on behalf of the brethren for relief from physical suffering. And with the weekly announcements that we get and the national prayer listing, we're often reminded to pray for the physical needs of the church, within the church. This day of Pentecost, however, can also remind us of the spiritual needs of the church. How often do we pray for the spiritual needs of the church? Do we pray that God's Spirit would be active in people's lives? God's Spirit has a lot of different functions, and one of them that we notice on that first day of the New Testament church is that it inspired growth. It inspired growth, both collectively and individually. So today we might consider making intercessory prayers for the spiritual growth of the church. Again, both in numbers and in spiritual understanding. We'll go to Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, and we'll notice some instructions that we've recently been reminded of, instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. Matthew 9, verse 35, to begin with here, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom," part of the commission that's been given to us as a church, "and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray, make intercessory prayer to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Pray for more laborers for the harvest. Pray that God's Spirit will lead more people to become a part of the church, to be knowledgeable about the truth. Certainly want to pray that God inspires new people, people that we don't know, to come to that truth. However, today I'm going to suggest praying for people we do know. In fact, I'll quickly present four suggestions of how we might pray for more spiritual laborers and for more spiritual growth in the church. Number one, pray for the return of the lost sheep and prodigal sons. Pray for the return of the lost sheep and prodigal sons. Pray for those that we know who were once a part of God's church, but for whatever reason have left. They've gone astray. Maybe they left due to a perceived offense, or maybe a real offense. Maybe it was a doctrinal issue or a misunderstanding about a doctrinal issue. Or maybe they just got distracted by the cares of this world. Let's notice Matthew 18, starting in verse 12. "Because for whatever reason, some have gone astray." Matthew 18, verse 12. Jesus speaking here. "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?" Verse 13, "And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Pray for the lost sheep we know of. Pray for them by name if you know them. Pray also for those who, like the prodigal son, wanted to experience life unencumbered by the rules of the Father, our Father. Or maybe they were tempted to seek pleasure on their own terms. Or maybe they were enticed by the passing pleasures of sin. Can we think of individuals who have gone astray from the faith and could use our prayers? Pray for them. Pray for their return. Number two, pray for those who've been led to start attending church. They've been drawn to come here. Pray for those and pray for them so that they will follow through. Pray that they'll be baptized and become Spirit-filled members. Pray that they'll want to say, "I'm all in." Similarly, Number three, pray for our young people. Pray for our young people, those who've grown up or are growing up in the church. Pray that they will not only continue in the church, but will see the need to fully commit to it. Pray that when they reach that age of maturity, they will want to become baptized, Spirit-filled members. And number four, pray that we all continue to grow spiritually. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, starting at verse 15, and notice Paul's message to the church in Ephesus, and take particular note of the various qualities of spiritual growth that he mentions. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers," intercessory prayers here, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom," spiritual wisdom, "and revelation in the knowledge of him," verse 15, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened," so increased spiritual vision and understanding, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling," an increased appreciation for our calling, "and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, who believing according to the works of his mighty power," God's Holy Spirit, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come." Pray for an appreciation of what we have to look forward to. So just as Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, pray for us as a church, that we grow in spiritual wisdom, vision, understanding, and appreciation of our calling and what we have to look forward to in the future, knowing also that we have God's Spirit, God's power working with us. So brethren, as first fruits of God's spiritual harvest, let's be reminded to pray for growth. Pray that God's Spirit would inspire more laborers for the harvest. And just as important, pray also that those of us who might already consider ourselves laborers in that harvest, that we grow spiritually, multiplying the spiritual talents that we've been given, and become better laborers and more efficient servants in helping fulfill God's great plan for all humanity.